Back there again, Hebrews chapter 12. Now remember that Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Hall of Faith chapter, where God tells us about the men and women in times past that have walked by faith. And their faith was not dependent upon whether everything was going their way or not. Because with many of them, it wasn't. They had faith through tough times. They had faith in God through trying times. And in some cases, maybe the thought ran through their head to quit, turn around, give up, but they did not. They continued to believe God and trust God. So I want to read to you again the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12. And Hebrews chapter 12 is a continuation of Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, you know, I've read this to you before, but let me say this. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, let me say this to you, and this is for all of us, me included. God is letting us know we have testimonies around us every day for whatever it is we may be dealing with. Did you follow me on that? Lord, why me? Lord, why this? Why did this happen to had to happen to me? Why, Lord? Well, we have testimonies of victory surrounding us every day. All we have to do is go to the Word of God. Testimonies. And so we're told then, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded, everybody say surrounded, by so great a cloud of witnesses, which lets us know that we don't have an excuse to quit. We don't have an excuse to give up, because we got a record of witnesses that's gone through what we've gone through and much greater than what we've gone through, but they stood. And they didn't quit. So we don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse. Glory to God. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, everybody say us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. Let us run with endurance. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have witnesses that we can win this thing. We have witnesses that we can win this thing. And God is letting us know, I didn't quit on them, and I'm not going to quit on you. Hallelujah. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Brothers and sisters, we are called to walk by faith. And I've been dealing with this a lot. We have been called by God to walk by faith. What does it mean to walk by faith? It's to walk by what the Bible says. It's to walk by what God has said in his word and not by our own thinking. Let me say this another way. We are to line our thinking up with what God has said. Is there another amen out there somewhere? Well, let me show you what I'm talking about here. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs, the third chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at the fifth verse. Listen to what it says. And I'll read along with me. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Verse 5, trust in the Lord half-heartedly. Sometimes in, sometimes out. Only when you feel good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. And look at what it says. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, you see that? Acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, that's for today. I have the New Living Translation here. I'm going to read those verse 5 and 6 to you. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. And he will show you which path to take. We all have a journey. We all have a race to run while we're on this earth. But I want to make sure, and I hope you feel the same way I do, I want to make sure that I'm running on the right racetrack. Listen to me. It is important to me, and I hope you feel the same way. It is important to me that as I run the race that God has called me to run. Amen. not somebody else's race, but the race that God's called me to run. Hallelujah. That's important. That was important to Jesus. Even in one of the most tense, tough times in his life. Just before he went to the cross, Jesus prayed. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was tough. And Jesus prayed, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." You know the story. But Jesus was so focused on God's will for his life while he was here on this earth. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done." Jesus was saying, "You know what? I know this is going to hurt. I know this is going to be very painful, because you know the story. He was pierced in the side, that drove nails into his hands and feet, to put a crown of thorns on his head, and that's after they whipped him. And that was tough. Thank God he loved us. Thank God our Heavenly Father loved us. It was tough, but Jesus did it because he knew that was the will of God for his life. That's the reason he came to the earth to begin with. He was born to die. He was born to die. So the writer here in Proverbs says, tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, and don't lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Let me read on just a little bit. Is that all right? Verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Glory to God. "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." Hallelujah. Sound like the tithe to me. "So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." Oh, I love that, don't you? I want to read this also from the New Living Translation, verse 7. It says, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce." Back in those days when this was written, everybody, you know, primarily farmers. But it still applies to us today. Verse 9 again, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine." Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am convinced that God is more than able to take care of me and you today, tomorrow, and the month after that, and the year after that, and the decade after that, and if you're still around it, next century. God is able to take care of us. I told you last week that things on this earth is getting darker. But God is still God. God is still God. Amen? Amen. So we ought to walk by faith in this dark world. We are to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on His word and stand on His promises. Stand on what He said. I want you to remember something. Listen to this. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Am I right? Well, what does light do? It shines. And when the light's on, guess what? Those that are in darkness can see the light. Now, grab a hold of this. You only need light when it's dark. We are the light of this dark world. Listen to me real good. The darker it gets in this world, the brighter we should be shining. I love what it says in Psalm 37, testifying to the goodness of God. It says, in the days of famine, we, the children of God, will be satisfied. Did you hear what I just said? Even in the days of famine, even in the days of lack, God says, I'm going to take care of you because you are my testimony to this dark world. You are my light. When people are hopeless, they need to have someone to run to let them know, hey, listen, you don't have to stay in the dark. You can come to the light. His name is Jesus. You still here with me? His name is Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, you think there's hopelessness now? There's more coming. But we are the light of the world. Amen. And if we'll do what it tells us in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him. He has promised to direct your path. And it goes on to say, if we obey Him in giving and tithe and offering, He'll make sure our barns are filled. God, oh, glory to God. God knows how to take care of His people. God knows how to take care of His people because He's called us to preach the gospel and to be an example to this dark world. Amen. Amen. Now, are you preparing to go to the poorhouse or are you preparing to flourish? Flourish. Huh? Flourish. Amen. Flourish. Flourish. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want us to take, I'm not going to be before you long, but I want us to take a look at a fellow that was going through a lot of pressure in his life. But I want us to take a look at how he handled it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now you may be thinking, well, Pastor James, why are you ministering along this line? Things are going all right with us. And that's a blessing. I'm glad to hear that. But it's not with some folks you know. We need to give them hope. Second Corinthians chapter 4. I'll just begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Glory to God. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And I read this a while back. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Amen. We covered that, I believe, last Sunday, right? Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Amen. I could preach that all over again, but I'm not going to. Verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see that? But listen to what he said. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, stay with me. Stay with me here. Verse 8, he say, we are hard pressed on every side. You see that? We are hard pressed on every side. Seem like everywhere we turn, there's opposition. Everywhere we turn, somebody is trying to do bodily harm to us, or somebody is trying to keep us from preaching the gospel. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He faced resistance after resistance after resistance. He said, we're hard pressed on every side. But what else did he say? Yet not crushed. Yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Have you ever had times when you just didn't know what to do? Every direction you turned, it seemed like there was a brick wall in front of you, and you just didn't know what to do. Paul said they've had some of those situations. They didn't exactly know what to do. But he says, he would not allow himself to be in despair. I like the way this translation put it. Listen at this, verse 8. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we are not crushed. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. Are you listening to me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Listen at this, verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. Glory to God. There's always a way out if we choose to walk by faith. If we choose to believe God through it all, we're going to come out on the other side with praises in our mouth. Now, I want to take you to one other place. Psalm 103, before I quit. The 103rd Psalm. Now, Psalm 103. We need to lay hold on what God has given us. But in order to lay hold on what God has given us, we need to know what it is He's given us. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and finish that verse. I can't hear you. And forget not all of His benefits. God has something good for you. God has something good for all of us. And it's not dependent upon how things look. It's not dependent upon what we hear in the news. Well, let's look at God's benefits. Some of you already know. Verse 2 again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. First benefit, who forgives all your iniquities. I'm so glad I'm forgiven. Let me say that again. I'm so glad I'm forgiven. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I have eternal life. That's a great benefit that God has given me, and He's given you, and He's given to all who will receive it. What a great benefit. Amen? So who forgives all your iniquities, who heals some of your diseases. Just testing you, see if you're listening. Who heals all your diseases. Now you can say, preacher, I don't believe that now, because I believe some of this stuff God wants us to have so He can teach us something. God wants to make me sick so I can testify to His goodness. You know, if I was a sinner and didn't know Jesus, and somebody walked up to me, and I'm in good health and everything, somebody walked up to me and said, you know, God made me sick, God gave me cancer, or God gave me whatever, God gave it to me so He can humble me. and you need to receive this God that I got. I'm going to start thinking now, if I receive him, now he going to throw something on me. No. And I know you've heard it, but we see it right in the scriptures. Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, okay, since he heals all my diseases, why am I sick? Why am I dealing with this or dealing with that? Well, it could be a number of reasons. But that's where you have to find it out. Maybe you're not spending enough time in the Word of God, or maybe everything coming out of your mouth is negative, negative, negative. Maybe God's been dealing with you about forgiving somebody for something they did and you refuse to forgive them, and that's causing you a problem. But listen, the Word already declares it's God's will that we be well. You have to understand something. Sickness came on the earth as a result of the curse. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
When Adam and Eve was on earth before she met the devil, there was no sickness. And can I tell you something else? When Jesus comes back, there will be no sickness. There's no sickness in heaven. During the millennial reign, no sickness. There'll be no sickness in heaven. Sickness will be done away with. Why? Because it's part of the curse. It's part of the curse. You hear me? It's part of the curse. Thank God for those in the medical profession that helps us out. Amen. Doc back here is one of those people. Thank God for y'all need to pray for him too, you know, and not just him, but all medical people. Amen. Everybody in the medical field, because what they're trying to do is get you well. They're trying to get you in God's will. you hear me? They're trying to get you in God's will. So I'm not anti-doctor. I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not any of that. God wants you well.
Amen.
Glory to God. I got to move on. Verse 4, who redeemed your life from destruction, who crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with what? Good things, hallelujah, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. I was talking to Mom Sturdivant, such a blessing. You, Mom Sturdivant, Mom Kyler, Mom Ruby, you ladies are a blessing. And you are a testimony to the goodness of God. You're a testimony to the goodness of God. And you are still here with us. Two of you in your 90s. And you are almost there, 89. We need to be giving God praise for that. You hear me? Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. All three of them walked in here. They weren't pushed. They weren't carried. They walked in here under their own strength. Don't you ever tell them they're out of the will of God because they're in their 90s and still walking. Praise God. God is a good God. Say it again.
God is a good God.
Say it again.
God is a good God.
One more time. And I want you to say this. Say, God is for me and not against me. God's on my side. But what I have to do is conform to his word. Because there are so many distractions. One of the things that we deal with, we have to watch out for, and I'm getting ready to close, is stress. Stress, stress, stress. Do you know the devil knows that stress will kill you? Because our bodies were not created to carry stress. So sometimes things will come at you to try to get you stressed out. Don't let it happen. You hear me? Don't let it happen. God is on your side. And don't get stressed by what you see going on in the world. Matter of fact, Jesus said on one occasion, men's hearts would be failing them because they are looking at what's going on around them and think, oh my goodness, what are we going to do next? What? And you know, let me tell you something. I'm closing. You see the musicians, they coming. I'm closing. But let me tell you something. That happens to all of us. If you will be honest, the thought has run through your mind. What are we going to do? What, you know, you have to conquer that thing and say, no, I'll not think this way. I put my trust in God. I put my trust in his word. I'm going to be obedient to his word. And God is faithful to me. As I close, say this. Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's good to me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you glory for your word. Thank you for your goodness.